Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it.
Black, white, right, left.
Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Whiskey Congress is in session once again with another whiskey. This would be...
Bang the gavel, bitch.
I should have a gavel. You're absolutely right. Of course, you know, loud and annoying, that would be bam, bam, bam.
We should both have a gavel.
No.
For when one is out of
order. What is that? That's actually a funny idea. I don't mind that. Anyway, Evan Williams, 1783 small batch. It comes in at 86 proof or 43% ABV. It's a straight bourbon. I like it. It's not amazing, but I'm scoring 89.
89, right on the dot.
All right.
Vanilla. You know, not overly woody, you know, kind of sweet, caramel, just a standard bourbon.
Yeah.
I think it's a good entry-level bourbon that has a, you know, it presents well. So if you're new to the bourbon game and, you know, you don't want to get overwhelmed, you know, with something pricier, it's probably a good way to start.
25, somewhere in there?
That's the beautiful thing about bourbon, man, is that you can get some really good tasting quality bourbon for, you know, under 50, sometimes under 30 bucks, you know, depending on where you are and what's available. Where, you know, Scotch and some of your other whiskeys, on the other hand, you know,
right,
it's you know, your starting point is 50 and then going up.
Right.
So now that's, you know, changing to a degree with the bourbon market, because it's just in such high demand. So, you know, you're seeing prices rise, but, you know, it's still...
Do you ever get annoyed that you're like, I was into whiskey before it was cool, kind of thing?
Not. The only thing that's annoying about it is the fact that, you know, bourbons that, and whiskeys in general, a lot, whether they're, you know, scotches or bourbons or what have you, when I was drinking them, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, I could just find them in abundance whenever I wanted them. Or I could find them, maybe not necessarily in abundance, but I would go to the shelf and they would be there, dusty.
Right.
And all the prices were good. You know, I mean, so I was able to go, like, I would go and I would find one, oh, this is good, so I'd buy a couple, you know. And where before, you know, I could, some of these stores I would go to and I could drop 300 bucks, but 300 bucks scored me 5, 6 bottles.
Sure.
You know, and now... You know, 300 bucks maybe gets me 3, depending on what I'm looking for. And some of the stuff that I really, really enjoy has gone from a $50 price point to $150 to $200 price point. If I can even find it, if it's even available in the tri-state area. You know, I mean, so...
Do we have a tri-state area?
Well, you know, I say...
It's fun to say.
Ohio, Michigan, and Pennsylvania.
Okay.
In Northeast Ohio.
Everywhere has a tri-state area. I'm just wondering if we had one too.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, okay. But I think that's legit. I mean, because you can get to Michigan, you know, pretty quickly from here, and you could
be in Pennsylvania in an hour.
Right. So anyway.
All right. Anyway, we've talked about the Eric Garner death pretty much since it happened. It came down today.
Back in 2014,
by
the way.
Yeah. Right?
It's crazy. It was that long ago.
It is. And the feds just decided this week that they will not be pressing charges against any of the officers involved in his death. Honestly, so this is basically kicked up from state level to federal level, and doesn't surprise me. I mean, did you expect the Justice Department to do anything?
Well, no, but tell me why it didn't surprise me. What were your thoughts there?
I didn't think that there would be enough... I don't want to say pressure, but I think that they would have just said, you know, we're not going to be able to win this case in terms of what caused his death or who caused his death, and...
Well, yeah, there's a...
I mean,
exactly who caused his death.
Okay. It was the officer, the guy choking him?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I'm not surprised, just because I didn't expect the feds to step in and say this is a federal matter.
I have a little bit different viewpoint. I mean, I wasn't sure. One, this lingered for a long time. And part of the reason this is coming to a head right now is because, you know, earlier this week marked the statute of limitations on when they could actually bring the charges against the officer.
Okay.
So it was kind of a shit or get off the pot type of moment. And there was an actual divide in the Department of Justice on what to do about this. You had your Department of... civil rights who said they wanted to bring charges, and then you had the federal prosecutor who said we don't think that this is a winnable case, and I tend to agree with the prosecutors here that it really would have been a tough case to win based on the burden of proof that was that would have been required to prove that the officer had the intent to kill Eric Garner, because that's the thing. You have to prove that the officer wanted to take away, intentionally take away the civil liberties, and in this particular instance, Taylor, the life of
yeah.
Eric Garner, and that is really hard to prove. And in this particular instance, yes, he's putting him in a chokehold, and yes, it's a move that's been banned because it's dangerous, but the difference between a chokehold and a gun is obvious, right?
Like, right.
I mean, officers are not trained to shoot to wound. They're trained to shoot to kill. And in this particular instance, a chokehold is not necessarily a move that people think of as a
intent
move,
to kill, yeah.
Right, that's going to kill someone. Can it? Absolutely.
Sure.
We saw it in this particular instance. Now, there were some other mitigating factors in terms of his weight. He had a heart condition. The other officers were trying, other things to try to subdue him.
And that's what I was trying to say, is like right. The guy on top of him, could that have caused it?
Right, there was a lot going on there, so it would have been really hard to prove. And so, as a prosecutor, I'm looking at this case and I'm thinking, can I win this case? Because you have a police officer, the burden of proof is very high, and to take this case and think you're going to win it, you're banking off of the emotion and not necessarily what you can actually prove and what the evidence shows. And that's where it makes it very difficult. And it's a hard pill to swallow if you're an activist, if you're in Eric Garner's family.
Sure.
Or you're just looking at the idea of the idea of justice, and depending on what your definition of justice is, it may be hard to accept, but I think that this is ultimately the right call. It feels dirty. It doesn't feel good. Now, the city of New York settled with the family for nearly $6 million a year after it happened. Now, the sad part about this is that Eric Garner's daughter, who became an activist after this, she also died. I believe I think she had a heart condition.
Not
sure.
I forget what that was, but it was not an overdose or
nefarious. No,
nefarious,
it was, I believe she may have had a similar heart condition to his, or it could have been cancer. I'm not sure, and so don't quote me on that, but she's no longer with us as well, and so it's a really sad story all the way around, Again, a lot of people don't like this, and a lot of people are saying, well, this is what I expected, and, this isn't justice, and the justice system is broken. But I think in this instance, with that high, that high bar, that high standard, that high burden of proof, it was not going to be, you just didn't have enough to prove it. Sad as it may be, it does kind of close the chapter on that, or close the book on that particular chapter of just a rough period, man. From 2013 to
now?
Yeah, I mean, but it was really bad. It just felt like week after week is kind of why we started this show. There was just so much going on. Eric Sure. Garner, Tamir Rice, Trayvon Martin, and then it was just like Alton Sterling and the guy down in South Carolina that the cop shot in the back.
Walter Scott.
I mean, there's just so many, and there's so many names that it's hard to keep track of after all these years, and it was really rough. And the question is, have things gotten better? And if you look at the statistics, I don't know that they have. I mean, the police still kill roughly 1,000 people a year. Roughly 200 of those people are unarmed. Black people are disproportionately killed, based off of, population numbers and things like that. And, you can go into the whole conversation about policing and the root cause of crime and, why are things the way they are, but are they any better? I don't know. Were they actually ever really worse, or was this just...
There's so much more exposure now.
Well,
right?
That's what I think.
We've seen the videos.
I think things are... I think, we know that violent crime is down.
Right.
Right. And we know that we're living in a time in this country that's, you know, more peaceful than it's ever been, no matter what you see on Twitter or hear from right. people in the media. And so what I think is because of cell phones, cameras everywhere, we're just seeing more of everyday interactions, and we don't like what we see. So all of a sudden it's the new thing, but this is how it is. And so the question is, how do you resolve it?
If Eric Garner happens exactly, the situation around Eric Garner happens exactly the same way in 1994, this is a headline in New York tabloids for 2 weeks. In Ohio, we probably never hear about it. In fact, I'll say in Ohio, we definitely never hear about it.
Right.
I had a guy challenge me a bit the other day saying, well, the only reason you know these names is because the media props it up because he was black. And I'm like, kind of missing the point.
Right. It's not because the media is propping it up because he's black. I mean, that's a part of it.
No, there's a protest because he's black, as a black community has been picked up.
But, I mean, the other part is that because we're able to see these things, mm-hmm. right? Because they're being recorded, because there's body cams and there's cell phone cams and, you know, there's cameras everywhere, that are picking things up. When you have a visual, if these things were just splattered across headlines.
Right. And right? a picture on a New York tabloid.
Then, there probably wouldn't be the same sort of kind of visceral reaction to some of these things. Because when you see something happen, it's different than someone telling you about it.
And it's so brutal. In the case of Eric Garner in particular, I mean, he's basically begging for his life, saying, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. And this is where I always go in these things. This was a situation that got escalated, and it didn't need to.
For no reason.
There was no risk of violence from Eric Garner. Right. Yes, he was breaking the law and selling loose cigarettes, and I'll say anyone who makes a law about selling loose cigarettes, I will say is a douchebag, because if I buy a pack of cigarettes, as far as I'm concerned, they're mine. So if I want to sell two of them, what the fuck? And I know they came from another state, it's a tax issue, I get it. But I still say it's a bullshit law, and it was definitely unnecessary to escalate.
You didn't need, five police officers there.
Or a physical confrontation.
Right. I mean,
here's your ticket, sir.
I know multiple police officers who could have handled that situation, no problem. Gone up, had a conversation with them. Eric, what are you doing? Come on, man. We've had this conversation before. Can't sell Lucy's on the street. I know it's your hustle. You're gonna have to find a new hustle. Go sell CD. Do something else, man. Get out of here. If I see you again, I'm gonna give you a ticket.
Every time, right?
Right. Go.
I know this conversation spiraled into, well, eventually it becomes, the state can kill you. I'm like, true, but this was completely avoidable.
Right. It was. I mean, and, listen, we've talked to police officers before. I mean, we've talked to Mike Wood in the past, and he has a very strong stance that any interaction with a police officer can end with you dying.
Right.
Right. And he's not wrong.
No, he's not.
Right? I mean, it doesn't take much. I mean, you see this situation with Eric Garner, Sandra Bland. Like, there's plenty of examples of that, of situations because she changed lanes wrong, she's dead. Right? Like,
because she lit a cigarette and refused to put it out, she's dead.
Right. So maybe the outlaw banned cigarettes.
Yeah, There is that.
But, I think because we're seeing this stuff is what kind of creates the reaction. But you got to have more than reaction. Like, we have to start to, as a country, we have to start to walk more towards solutions, and we're not seeing that, and it's not getting any better. As our next topic, with Trump versus the Squad,
right?
Which that's the last time I'm saying that. I'm not calling a group
four freshman congresswomen.
I'm not calling. The squad. I'm just not calling them that. It's ridiculous. I think it's. I think that came from Nancy Pelosi or whatever. I think it trivializes what is going on. Now, listen, I'm no fan of AOC.
Fan of Nancy Pelosi.
I'm not a huge fan of Nancy Pelosi either. I'm not a fan of Ilhan Omar. I'm kind of neutral on Rashida Tlaib and Presley. But They're not helping the situation. They think that they're revolutionaries I don't necessarily agree. You know, AOC opens mouth, inserts foot on a regular basis. She's really good at the Twitter snapbacks and clapbacks. But I think her initial response, right, you put a microphone in her face or you give her time to just kind of talk her way into a situation, and she gets herself in these situations more often than not. Ilhan Omar, same thing, right? Just, you know, she's moving, her mouth is moving faster than her brain. And there's a reason why politicians and athletes talk the way that they talk, right? The Michael Jordan, Peyton Manning, say...
The reason, you know, they should talk the way they talk.
They talk the way they talk for a specific reason. It's because everything that they say is going to get sliced and diced and measured, and people are going to question it. And so they try to say the most generic things possible. And, you know, some people will say, well, it's good that these girls aren't talking like that, and it's good that they're all right, but they're not. Like, listen, it's great that you can, you know, call Donald Trump a racist and everybody's a racist who supports Donald Trump, and you can go out there and you can spew rhetoric and you can tell us how the camps down in, you know, at Texas,
the border,
that those are concentration camps and never again, and you're good with hashtags and all that stuff. But guess what? None of those are solutions to these problems. You can tell us all about the problems, but you're not presenting anything that gives me a solution for.
Okay. Right?
And that's, and I have a serious issue with that. Like, I mean, okay, because listen, sitting here and calling Donald Trump a racist, he is, right? Okay, fine. All right. I mean, if you want to say that,
and I'd say elitist and narcissist.
I've long said that he's an elitist, and sometimes that has its roots in racism. And
you can be all three. You can be a narcissist, right, elitist, right, and a racist.
Right. I mean, like, and he'll tell you he doesn't have a racist bone in his body. I think it's bullshit, but whatever. Right? It doesn't. It, like, listen. The idea that, like, and there's a conservative movement right now where they say, the race card is dead, and you say everything is racist, so therefore nothing is racist.
Right.
And they've literally narrowed it and whittled it down to, as long as I don't say nigger, and as long as I don't talk bad about the Jewish state, then you can't call me a racist, right? That's what Breitbart lives on that. Breitbart won't even say we don't have to say nigger. They'll just say, listen, we support Israel. How can you call us racist? They literally say it on their radio broadcast on Alex Marlow. And, you know, Bannon, when he was there, that was their thing. They call us racist. We support Israel. How can you call us racist? And I'm like, well, hold on.
So,
go ahead.
So Ilhan Omar was at the kind of the focal point of this, because at least I think she was the focus of it, because Trump said, basically, if you hate America so much, go back to where you're from. And she's was born in Somalia, which makes her perspective very different, probably, certainly than Trump's and certainly than ours, because I cannot imagine what it's like to be a woman living in Somalia. And for her to have gotten from there to here and become a congresswoman is pretty damn impressive to me. Now, Trump said this vile person made these anti-Semitic remarks, and the one thing that everyone points to with her is her remark that the United States' support for Israel is all about the Benjamins. So, double entendre, it's about money, it's about Benjamin Netanyahu. Sorry, that's... A, it's about the money. B, that's a pretty good line. I mean, all about the Benjamins, we know the, you know, origin of that, and then we got the fact that two uses of the word. I thought it was a good line. And I don't think it's anti-Semitic. I think it may be anti-American support of Israel,
well,
but it's not.
But that's part of the issue too, right? Like so if you don't support the Jewish state of Israel, then conservatives, the GOP, and, you know, your conservative Jews will tell you that you're anti-Semitic, right? If you anytime you criticize Israel, then the retort is you're anti-Semitic,
right?
Right, and where they're getting that from is people who said, if you didn't vote for Obama, then you're a racist, right? That's where it's coming back to bite progressives and liberals in the ass, and you don't say it didn't happen.
It didn't happen.
It was a pretty consistent thing.
If you didn't vote for Obama,
if you didn't vote for Obama,
Hear people say, hold on. There were plenty of people who said, you didn't vote for Obama because you are a racist.
Same difference. I mean, don't play semantics with me.
Listen, there's a big difference there, but okay.
Okay, but it, it, it's not, because I'm sure there are people out there who said, if you don't vote, if you didn't vote for Obama, it's because you're a racist. And, or if you didn't vote, or you are a racist because you didn't vote for Obama. And if you criticize Obama, you're a racist. And if you, I mean, we had people out there just this week who said, you know, criticizing the women of color in Congress is racist. Right? I mean, it just, like, the rhetoric is ridiculous.
There were literally people who said,
it, you know, criticizing, like, in, it was, I actually retweeted it on Twitter.
At whiskeycongress.com?
Yes. Okay. Retweeted it on our whiskey, or on our whiskey account, on our Twitter, our Whiskey Congress Twitter account, stating how ridiculous the idea is that if you criticize, you know, people of color in Congress, then that somehow makes you a racist, right? Like, that takes that thought, that's too far. It's not accurate, doesn't make any sense, right? And then flipping it, on the other hand, where...
You do that to fuck with me all the time with comics, by the way. When I said I didn't like Kevin Hart as a comic, you gave me shit. I mean, you weren't being serious.
No, I didn't.
You fucked with me. Yes, you did.
I don't...
You were fucking around with me. You were like, oh, why not? I'm like, oh, fuck, here we go.
I don't even like comics.
You did that once to fuck with me. I'm not saying it's a...
I think you're confusing me with one of your other black friends.
Yeah, other black friends I do a podcast with where I drink whiskey.
All right. Okay. but yeah, I think my biggest issue with all of this is you can dig down into was what Trump said racist and all that.
Right.
Like, to me, it's just that the conversation, like, this is... It's not, like, the idea of like, everyone tossing around the... Like, because what it is, you know, the progressives and the left, they're calling Trump racist. And then Trump and the conservatives are calling the people on the... You're racist because you're anti-Semitic and blah, blah, blah. Listen, first of all, this is exactly what Trump wanted, right? And I told you that earlier, I had an analogy. Because Trump is like a UFC fighter with no stand-up game.
Okay.
Right? He's got no stand-up game, so he's got to get you on the ground, right? He can't go blow for blow with you, so he's got to get you on the ground. Once he gets you on the ground, he's a really good grappler, right? He'll get you in, and he'll get you in an armbar, or, you know, he'll get you in some sort of a move where you're not going to be not be able to get out, and you're going to have to tap out, right? And he basically did that to the entire Democratic field the last time around, and this is what he's doing right now, because... The Democratic field, we got six, or the Republican field in 2016.
Okay.
But right now, with the Democrats, there's no one who's running for president that really is standing out, right? They're all saying basically the same thing. You know, Bernie's, you know, waving his hands and screaming about, you know, free college and give everybody health care and all that stuff. Elizabeth Warren's got a plan for everything. You know, Pete Buttigieg is out there making, you know, really good, you know, statements. But his town is a mess. You know, Kamala Harris, whatever everybody else says, she's all about it, but she says it really, really forcefully. You know, and Joe Biden's just sitting over there still trying to, you know, figure out what happened 3 days ago.
Okay.
So no one in that group is standing out, and Trump doesn't have anyone to actually fight with. So enter the squad, enter AOC, enter Ilhan Omar, and all of a sudden, he's got a decent opponent. Right, and then these girls aren't going to back down. These women aren't going to back down. So he picks a fight with them. They say, you're not going to push us around, and it gives him the perfect stage to stand on. Right, and bounce back and forth with them. There's no policy being talked about whatsoever. It's just, you're a racist. You don't support our country. We love our country. You don't love our country. That's all it is, and it's all talk about nothing. Look at the keys. Look what's over here.
Agreed. But look how it's working with his supporters. I mean, look at that crowd bursting into send her back or whatever. That gave me a different feeling than most of the other Trump rally or just political rally things. Like, I cannot think of a single thing from, I'd say I was aware of politics dating back to Ronald Reagan. Reagan, Bush, Clinton, Bush, Obama, I don't ever remember them being at a rally, especially a rally that wasn't even, like, quote-unquote, in an election cycle. This is not, even though he's been in that cycle the entire time. The crowd spontaneously chanting into a, send that black woman back to Somalia because she's not a real American because she was critical. I'm giving them a more intelligently thought-out statement than they were chanting, but that felt very different to me. Not you?
Different than what?
Different than anything I heard from any other president.
Okay, but everything from Trump even, forward has been different, though.
This is standard for Trump. This hit a new chord to me. I don't know why, because it wasn't, because maybe this was premeditated in terms of the chant, but when they broke into Lock Her Up, okay, that was a campaign
thing. It's still not any different. I mean, it's just, it's groupthink. It's, we support you right. No matter what.
Tribal groupthink, sure.
It doesn't matter what you say or what you do at this point. We support you blindly, willfully, because we don't like the other side. This is not about policy anymore.
Oh, no.
It's not about what's, you know, they don't care. Like, it doesn't matter. You know, you got some guy making, you know, $30,000 a year who thinks that Trump is doing something for him.
Sure.
You know, I mean, like, oh, Trump said it, so it must be true. Must be right. And look how much better we're living. Like, you still live in a shanty. Appalachia,
You sent me a story about some dude in Naperville, Illinois. So he had literally a Mexican woman come into his store and refused to serve her, told her he was going to get ice here. Now, it turns out she was visiting a cousin who was born in America from Mexico. So she comes to America for the first time, and this douchebag in a gas station, whatever it was. And literally, ice is going to come here. This is America. Get out of my country. That is the kind of empowerment you get from a tyrant is too strong of a word, but a guy, you get this from Trump. You get this from
you know, they'll tout his policies. They're like, oh, the tax cuts were great. Right. And look at the economy and you know, look at the way he handled Syria and ISIS and everything else. I'll give him credit for ISIS. You know, he did what Obama refused to do, which was, go fight him, you know. I mean, Obama just kind of was like neutral on the whole thing, like you know, like played it.
He was done putting American troops in harm's way to the degree he could avoid it.
Understood, It's great, but the problem is that the cancer metastasized.
Yeah,
right. Like, and once the cancer
metastasized long before that, right?
Okay, but it's still like, listen, it's still war. You got to do it. You got to fight it. Right, you can't contain it. Like, you either eliminate it or you get stuck in it. Like, it is what it is.
Okay.
And so, Obama didn't do shit about it, and then Trump comes in and says, "Let them loose."
Okay.
And now they're gone.
Okay, but are they? Are they gone? Or are we just not hearing about it because we're talking about this shit?
No, they're
gone.
I mean, are they?
Whatever. I'm not trying to nitpick you and.
Well, you are. I mean, because I'm sure there's one guy running around out there in the desert with a fucking rocket launcher looking for somebody to shoot. Yes. So in that instance, they're not completely gone. All right. But do they still pose the same threat that they did 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
Threat to who?
Threat to the people
in Syria. Exactly.
Right.
And that's my point. Is it's a Syria problem. Yeah, we created it starting with the Iraq War. I'm not going to argue that America isn't involved in this, but Obama's thing was they have to fight their own war, and
okay, that's fine. Then pull your troops all the way out.
Okay,
which he didn't.
Okay,
right? And that's what it was a shit or get off the pot moment, and he like kind of stood up over the toilet with his pants down.
All right, I mean, but we're getting way off track from modern day events. But my point is,
I can give Trump credit for Syria. I don't give him the tax credit. The tax thing
didn't help me for shit.
Didn't help me. I don't know who they did help. There's no one I know that makes enough money where it would even fucking matter to them, no matter how much they lie to themselves.
Right.
It's just like, dude, you make $40,000 a year. The tax cuts did not help you. So he doesn't have a ton from a policy standpoint to really stand on, right? And so the idea of let's just make things as messy as possible in terms of getting people in a fever pitch based off of emotion, that's what he's thriving off of. Mm-hmm. It worked for him in 2016, and he's just picking up right where he left off. His base is his base. They are in it for him no matter what. And the problem is that no one on the left can no one on the left can really match what he's doing, right?
Except, well, it's tough. It's almost impossible for anyone to do now, right? Because the field of Democrats is so huge.
Right.
And Nancy Pelosi, I think, has done a fairly good job of sparring back. She's got a mess on her hands because the squad is saying, you got to come our way or the Democratic Party is lost. Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden are trying to hold on to the mainstream, somewhat centrist Democratic Party. And those things need to get figured out soon. Well, not that soon, but they need to get figured out. And let me ask you this, because I have a completely different opinion than what I hear on most standard media. A lot of the media is saying, the Democrats can't have these fights internally because when they do, Trump will use it against them in the general election. And I'm like, bullshit.
No, it won't matter.
Okay, that whole notion that if you expose Joe Biden for this, Trump's gonna call someone a racist? Fine, try that. And he will, by the way.
He's going to. But this is no different than any other election, right? Like, if you're gonna have a primary where you're gonna pit, you know, people that are supposed to be on the same side against each other for a nomination to go against someone who's going to go against them, then they're going to expose each other. Right? I mean, it happened with Obama and Hillary Clinton.
Sure.
It happened with Obama and...
Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders is exception in the sense that that did hurt her, but it wasn't because of exposed policies. In fact, I'll go a step farther and say it was probably the opposite. Because first debate, Bernie got up there and said, I'm just going to say, I don't give a damn about your emails. Maybe if he would have pushed the email thing, which was a dumb thing to push, in my opinion, but if he would have pushed that... Maybe that issue would have been settled public opinion by then. Maybe not.
Probably not. Bernie's a little
backing
different.
Off didn't, you know,
like, Bernie's issue was that, you know, the Democratic Party put it on a tee for Hillary.
Yes.
Period.
So that's, Hillary bought the tee.
Right. Okay, but either way, Donna Brazile and company
pushed
everything towards Hillary. Right. And then on top of that, and because of that, Bernie and his supporters said, all right, screw you. Right, I mean, like, so that's a little bit different of a situation, but it's still a part of the idea of you're going to put these two people against each other that eventually will probably need to come together to fight for their greater good, which is beating the other side. Like, it happens all the time. And my personal opinion is, one, it's going to be really hard. One, it's always hard to beat an incumbent.
Right.
Right, when's the last time we had a one-term president?
Bush.
So...
Elder Bush, obviously.
Yeah. And so...
And Carter before that, so...
Well, yeah, that's true. True.
And Ford before that, but that was a very...
And the 70s were...
Yeah.
The 70s were rough. 70s were rough. 60s... You know what?
Well, Kennedy was a one-term president, too, for very different reasons.
That's not a place to go.
Too soon?
I mean, I
do have an Oswald Life magazine thing in here.
It'll never not be too soon. Listen, Trump is going to be hard to beat.
Oh, yeah.
And his base is his base, right? He's got about 38%. And so in order to beat him, you're going to have to figure out a way to get people in the middle over, right? Like, you need to pull about 3% of his group, and you right now you're hoping that he just gets so repulsive that people have to hold their nose and vote for the other side.
Or
because I don't think there's a single person on the left that's actually strong enough to go toe-to-toe with Trump and garner enough support and get people to get over their individual, you know, righteousness on the left that's going to be able to beat Trump.
But here's the biggest deal, in my opinion. In the 2016 election, there was very poor voter turnout on the Democratic side because Hillary was really tough to vote for. I mean, really tough. I did it with my nose plugged. You and I had a pretty good fight about it on this show because you were like, Trump's going to win if people like you do your vote for Gary Johnson thing. And I was on the Gary Johnson thing up until the last week and finally went, fuck it, I can't do it. I can't be in a swing state and listen to my mom bitch at me for the rest of her life or mine over that. So if you mobilize, if you get people fired up enough to come out in huge numbers, and I think a lot of women and black people who in the 2016
Stop
election.
Stop right there.
Why?
It wasn't us. Don't blame black people on that.
I'm not blaming black people. I'm blaming Hillary.
don't sit there and say black people didn't turn out.
What were the numbers? I thought they were terrible.
No, the numbers were down from Obama.
Okay.
But Hillary lost because she lost women who look like her.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Like, don't look at us.
The black turnout was way lower. Yes, it was after 2 terms of Obama. I get it. But then you throw in the Hillary factor.
Educated white women went 58% for Trump.
Yeah.
That's on them.
And I think
that's on your girls.
All right.
Get your girls to the polls.
I think there's a lot of women who will get to the polls for that. I think the women who could take grab them by the pussy and say, oh, it was no big deal. Those girls, from what I hear, I mean, I know a lot of women who see this attack on Planned Parenthood and lose their minds. I know a lot of women who saw the Brett Kavanaugh thing and just lost their minds. I think that if the election were to happen today, I think the turnout and the results of votes from white women would be very different. Educated white women would be very different. Could be wrong. We'll know in 17 months or whatever it is. Not that long. Jeez.
I just need football season to get here.
All right.
That'll help all this, right? Football season will help.
Football season get along so well together.
I don't think anybody's going to kneel. I mean, I think, Kaepernick's out. He's clearly not coming back. There may be one guy strangling out there who, but I think the NFL has pretty much nipped that in the bud, which I don't have a problem with. I don't think it was helpful, although I think a lot of good came out of it in terms of what, players and certain teams are able to do in terms of working with their local communities and having meaningful charities because, all NFL players are required to have some form of a charity in their name. Every single one. If you're in the league for, I forget what the amount of time is, but I think if you make an NFL roster for a full season, you have to have a nonprofit charity organization in your name.
Okay. Right?
Even if it's just giving shoes to kids or having a football camp every year. And that's, my buddy who played for the Cardinals, that's like he's got two football camps every year, one in New Jersey and one in Arizona. That's free for everybody to come, and they raise money, and they take that money and they donate it to different charities, and that's how he does it. But what players in the NFL did after, everything with the kneeling and Trump and Colin Kaepernick is a lot of them went out and actually got more thoughtful in how they are going to approach that. And I think that in of itself is valuable. And I think that a lot of people went out and had a lot of the players went out and had meaningful conversations with local law enforcement, wherever they're playing or wherever they're from, and were able to form partnerships. And there's multiple examples from Patrick Peterson to Malcolm Jenkins to, other players. But so I think there was some good in that. So all I'm saying is football season, I need it.
All right.
Steelers go to camp next week.
Good for you. We can do a preview. Yeah, we can do that. You sent me an article, and this is so I have no trouble calling myself a liberal. Now, I also have no trouble calling out liberals for really being stupid. And you sent me an article that I just want to smash my face over. And it was an article that the city of Berkeley, California, is going to remove all gender identities from words in official city documents. Crazy. So manhole covers will no longer be called manhole covers.
They're called maintenance.
I don't care what they call. Okay.
Something.
Fine. I mean, so
anything that has the word man in
or
it.
Woman, they didn't want any gender.
Right.
There were no more policemen or policewomen. There will be police officers.
Police people.
Well, I don't want to say people because there's dogs who work for the police. I'm only joking, but am I wrong?
That's true. You're not wrong. And
what if that dog identifies as a person, though? So anyway, I support gay rights, trans rights as much as anyone I know. I've been criticized for it fairly heavily on a few occasions. And to me...
Not for me.
No, not from you.
Never criticized.
No, you haven't. A friend in particular called me out last week. And I didn't want to get into it. It was a very annoying conversation. But cities like Berkeley doing this shit does no good for anyone. No one has ever been hurt by saying, hey, that's a manhole cover.
Not a person hole
cover. So you mean you want me to fall into that sewer, but not if I was a man? Shut the fuck up. I mean, we as a country are becoming so eager to defend things that don't need to be defended or to prevent things that don't need to be protected. I do believe trans people need protections from abuse in society and whatever. But this doesn't help. This does nothing other than make people who are frustrated with the politically correct world, are frustrated with, you know, I can't do this anymore. And yes, that's used to cover a lot of racism.
Right, but I mean, this, and you see what happened with this. This blew up with, obviously, Breitbart and whatever that thing is. Ben Shapiro is the editor of, I forget what it's called. The Daily Wire?
No, what is it? You know what? Fuck Ben Shapiro.
I know you don't like him. But I mean, like, but all your conservative media outlets picked this story up and ran with it. This is what we're up against.
Right.
This is what they want for all of America. They're coming to take your, you know, they want to make everybody gay. And they want to remove men. And they're trying to emasculate all men, and this is how they're doing it. Like it's fucking wild, right? I mean, listen, Berkeley is its own special place.
Absolutely true,
right? Like I don't know what the hell is going on out there. I don't know, you know. But the weird thing is that it produces people really far left. Damn it, I do that all the time. Far left. I always say left and point right, but
no,
it produces
people. This is radio, brother. No one knows.
I know.
I won't call you out on that, even though.
But it. Right. It produces people that come out way far left who do stuff like this, right? And this all started because one of the people on the city council is like 23 years old, graduated Berkeley, and was like, it's time for us to stop, you know, with gender, blah, blah, blah. Okay, fine, right? But it also produces people that are really far right, right? So Alex Marlowe is the editor-in-chief of Breitbart, went to UC Berkeley, and he was just like, what I saw there completely, you know, jaded me, and he hates the left because they're so far left that they're like completely unreasonable, and they are right. Like having a conversation with Berkeley, if you're a dude from the Midwest, it's just, you know, kind of even keel. Like you're not a dick. You're just like, man, you're kind of pissing me off, bro.
And
like,
until today.
Oh, sorry, I can't call you bro.
Yeah,
whatever. You non-gender specific person. like it's ridiculous. I mean, if you're a trans person and you're telling me that you identify, you're a guy and you identify as a woman, and you say you want me to call you whatever your name is and you want to be referred to as her, completely respect it.
Sure.
That's fine. Right? And you're going through the transition and all that stuff. But if you're looking at me and you're born a man and everything about you presents as a man, right? Like you're sitting there with a bald head, you're wearing a flannel shirt and jeans and
boots. I thought you were describing exactly what I'm
wearing. No, I was going to, and then I just realized it didn't help.
The devil on your shoulder, lost.
Right, but if you're sitting there and you look, everything presents as a guy, right? And I say, hey, buddy, whatever, and then you immediately get offended, like, hey, why would you assume my gender? Like, because I'm fucking human.
Right.
And we assume gender. I'm sorry. That's just kind of what we do. If I see, you know, I mean, if I see a woman with long hair and big boobs and high heels and a dress, I'm going to assume that's a woman.
Right.
I'm sorry. Now, if you want me to call you something else, fine. I'll respect your wishes. I'll do it. I'm not going to fight you over it. I'm not going to get mad about it. I'm not going to go back and tell my buddies how pissed off I am about it. You know why? Because what the fuck does it matter? Why the fuck do I care?
Right.
Right. But at the same time, it's just like, man, like, can we all just ease up? Like, I'm sorry. I didn't fucking know that you identify as a girl. I'm sorry. I didn't fucking know.
I miscalled a trans woman friend of mine, the other day, to her face. I said, I'm sorry. She went, don't worry about it. That was the end of it.
Good.
Yeah.
I mean, shame on you. You know better.
I didn't do it on purpose.
Shame on you.
Don't you just point your finger at me, you son of a bitch.
But, I mean,
don't mean son. I mean,
you calling me boy?
No. No. Fucking it.
Got him. But no, I just...
it's such a bad...
It's a bad look.
It's a bad look. It accomplishes nothing. It helps no one. And it does actually fuel the flames on the other side way more than anything else.
And is that so? Because it fuels the flames on the other side, is that an excuse not to do it? And
no.
I'll make the argument, kind of, yeah.
The reason not to do it. The reason not to do it is because it was fucking stupid from the beginning.
Yeah.
That's my reason. I don't need to worry about what right wing snowflake is getting offended or what left wing snowflake is getting offended. I'm like, this is a waste of time, money, and energy. Focus on more important things.
Right, like,
if the city of Berkeley is running like a top, if they're surpluses and everything's great and they have harmony on the streets, then you know what?
And
then you
fix that. Right.
Right.
There's not a single issue. Everything is great.
We literally, in order to stay in city council, we need to find something to work on because there's nothing else to deal with. Then let's do an impact assessment of calling something a manhole cover.
But you know what? They're so arrogant out there that I guarantee you that they would tell you that that's actually where they were.
That's how arrogant they are. Here's the thing. I thought until the middle of the day today, my next project was going to take me out of San Francisco, and I would have taken the challenge to go to Berkeley and see what happened to me talking the way I talk to people.
Oh, they'd eat your life.
I would love to see what it was like. But unfortunately, I found out I am not going to San Francisco. I'm going to Carson City, Nevada. So, mwah for me.
We did not talk about that.
No, you didn't know about it until just now.
I didn't know.
I didn't know about it until 4 o'clock this afternoon. Carson City.
You ever been out there?
No, but I've seen the movie Con Air. Okay. And that's where they end up. Okay. See you in Carson. So, okay. If that shit happens, that'd be kind of cool. Right. Like, I get to watch Nicolas Cage and John Cusack fight John Malkovich in Ving Rhames. I don't want to leave out the black guy in the story. But if that happened, I would be...
Tone it down. Tone it down.
Anyway, what am I toning down? I'm making a joke. That was not a bad joke.
Tone down the bad jokes.
All right. Anyway, speaking of bad jokes, there's lots of people out there who say that we faked the moon landing. So this is the 50th anniversary of the moon landing. And there are people out there who are adamant that we never landed on the moon. Oh, yeah. And this is another one where
Steph Curry said that, right?
Steph Curry said it. But was he kidding? So that's the thing. I don't know who's fucking around and who's not.
Yeah, I mean, people, I mean, I think...
Like, flat Earth and land on the moon thing, I think most people who say that are just fucking around. I like to think that.
I think there's most.
Oh, but there are people who definitely believe it.
I fully agree with you. I think there is a... It is hard. It's definitely hard to tell who is... Sorry, people. We have a fly situation in the studio. But
and Steve currently has Adam Gaze syndrome. His eyes are moving all over the place. I'm literally
like, "Oh, it's out! Close the door."
The fly is out.
There you go. All
right.
So I think there are people who believe it, and I've been listening all week to stories being, you know, whether it's interviews with Buzz Aldrin, Neil Armstrong, some of the people who worked for NASA. You know, trying to figure out how they were going to do it, and you know, just listening to all of it, and it's just like there are too many people involved. For one, for this it wouldn't have gotten out that it was fake, and just I'm sorry, and maybe I'm just too gullible to believe that we landed on the moon, but. When I listen to all these stories, to believe that we landed on the moon, right? Like, or too gullible to, or I buy into it.
Right.
Right? Like, I believe it. I'm sorry, I listen to NASA scientists, and I believe them. It sounds like they know what they're talking about. I took physics. It's really, really hard, so they're talking way over my head, but I buy it. And there's just the fact that, listen... So you believe, if you don't believe that we made it to the moon, but you believe that we're building a giant space city, right? Like, the space station, that's essentially what it is, right? Like, it's a small space city, right? Like, we can do that, but we can't land on the moon. And their argument is, well, if we went then, why can't we go back? Like, we could, but it costs a lot of fucking money. To accomplish what? Like, what the fuck are we going to do on the moon, right?
Well, those moon rocks are supposed to be really fucking cool.
Right, like, they went there, they landed, they walked around for a little bit, they got some rocks,
Someone hit a golf ball.
Right, hit a golf ball, planted the flag, and then they left. Like, what the fuck are we going to do out there? It's a terrible place.
There is one part about the conspiracy that I do buy into. Not that we didn't land on the moon, but the video of the moon landing was faked. That, at the time, would have been plausible. Because at that time... Cold War was as intense as it was.
The Cold War was as hot as hell, baby.
No, but the Cold War was at its most intense point, and the Soviet Union was trying to get to the moon, and we were trying to get to the moon. They were into space before us, and we needed to one-up them. So the idea that we would have, you know, had the video be fake to say, hey, look at this, because if we just said, yeah, we did it, we touched it and came back, the world could say,
I'm drawing a line in the sand. Either you believe it or you don't.
I believe we landed on the moon.
You got to buy all of it.
No, I don't.
Buy the whole cow.
I can just like I can say Oswald was involved in the assassination but didn't act alone. The landing video could be fake, but and the event real.
Well, first of all, you're basing your whole Oswald thing off of a movie that you learned to be very fake.
That is not true. Look at the 10 books about. You know, you're being a dick today.
It's because you made me forget that I needed to do my dry cleaning.
It's my fault you forgot to do dry cleaning.
Yes.
Why? Because we had lunch today. And
yes, that's what I was going to do.
You are, oh my God. This
that's,
is.
That's what I was going to do when I left the construction site. And I completely forgot about it when I said, hey, let's go to lunch. And we went to lunch, and then I forgot about it. And then when I went home, I looked and saw it in my back seat and was like, God damn it, Jim.
Someone's deflecting their issues, but we. But anyway.
Pulling right, Trump.
Let's do
this. Look at the keys.
Jim Lauk is bad for America. If he hates America, he should go back to Buffalo, where he's from, even though Buffalo is technically in America, to break it to some people.
It's worse than Somalia.
On the east side, parts of it. So let's bring up a guy who has to be one of your newest heroes. I have to believe Jeffrey Foxhoven, the Iowa...
Oh, yes.
...has to be one of your heroes.
Yes.
He was sending out emails in Iowa, all of them containing Tupac Shakur quotes, because apparently... By the way, okay. He's a 66-year-old white guy from Iowa who, have you seen him?
Yes. So here's the great thing about the story. This wasn't just like over the last week. He had been doing this for like a year and a half, right? Like he would, like basically.
I think it's longer than
maybe
that.
Longer, because, yeah, maybe longer. Right. Yeah,
he used to do
right.
A thing where he would like, sorry, we've been down today. It's the whatever anniversary of Tupac's death. This guy was as big a fan as anyone.
Right. And so for years, this guy at work in his government office would. Multiple times a week would send emails to like multiple of his coworkers regarding Tupac. Today is his birthday. This is the anniversary of his death. Look at this. They may have found out who killed Tupac. This is the day that All Eyes on Me came out. This is the day that Machiavelli came out. Like those are Tupac albums.
I know.
This guy did this all the time. He did it consistently for at least well over a year.
Right.
Right. I mean, 18 months to 2 to 3 years, this guy was doing this constantly at his office. And then finally, the straw that broke the camel's back is that he sent out like a blast email to the entire agency that he works for, right, talking about how Tupac needed to be celebrated. And finally, like, okay, you're fired. Like, just go. Jerry... You're done. We can't take any more Tupac emails. I'm a Biggie fan. Fuck you. You're fired. like it literally sounds like something from Parks and Rec.
It is kind of hilarious. Now he was 66 years old. I don't know if there was more to the story in terms
they
tell him multiple times, dude, you got to lay off this. You got to lay off this.
In the story, they say that it wasn't the only issue, but it was a major issue.
Okay.
And it feels like, did you watch the show Parks and Rec? I feel like
I did not.
You didn't. But this sounds like something that was ripped right out of that show, right? Like this never happened in that show. I mean, like this would have been hilarious on a TV show, and it's just phenomenal in real life. So I have to think that they probably worked something out where I'm sure he probably still gets his pension and all of this shit. So I'm sure.
Hold on. I'm going to say this right now. I'm making an executive decision. Jerry Foxhoven, if you want to call into our show, you are welcome to.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. We'll find out if he's got a Twitter.
I'll hunt him down.
Okay.
I'll hunt him down. Look, listen, right. I reached out to Stormy Daniels. I can reach out to Jerry Foxhoven. I reached out to her again.
Did you?
Yeah, because... So, Michael Avenatti... Like, so, something came out. Michael Cohen's records were unsealed. And it came out that Trump was more involved with the whole Stormy Daniels payoff than what was initially said. And Hope Hicks and a few other people, which brings into question Hope Hicks' testimony, last month or whenever that was. But Michael Avenatti, everybody's favorite scumbag lawyer, holds a press conference and is like, see, told you this was going on, blah, 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 blah. And so I tweeted out, like...
Did he say that from his, like, during visitation, or...
No, he's not. Apparently he's not in jail yet.
Okay. Keep the yet out there.
Well, no, I mean, because he's facing some...
He's going to jail for long. That's what I'm saying. Not jail yet. He's going to jail.
Right. So he has this press conference, and he's talking about, the injustice of Stormy Daniels. He stole $300,000 from Stormy Daniels. Like, she won a settlement... He stole $300,000 for her, and oddly enough, like, she ended up being ordered to pay $300,000 to Donald Trump because of the whole thing and the way it all worked out, and she didn't have the money, which is why she's going on this, like, you know, stripper tour and book tour and all this other stuff, because she's trying to raise this money to pay him back, and, like, she would have had the money had Michael Avenatti not stolen it from her. So I reached out to her to see if she wanted to talk about like how ridiculous he is, or she just wanted to chat.
Okay.
Hang out.
Yeah, maybe stop
whatever.
By. Light a few candles and.
Haven't heard back yet, but we'll see where that goes.
Good luck with that. All right, so we brought
up. You would literally shit yourself if she walked through this door.
Oh my God, yes.
You would literally that would be enough
if you,
for
if
me.
If you pulled that off,
like not just all call right. in. If I could no, get, if it, I could, it, actually, right. it, one, if I could right, get her right. to call in, that's pretty big. But if I could physically get her here,
I'm doing this right now. If you get her to call into the show, I will buy a bottle of Lagavulin. If you get her to walk in this door.
If I get her to call in, it better be more than a bottle of Lagavulin.
Well, I'm raising the stakes. That, I think, has a 1 in 1,000 chance of happening. She might get bored and it okay. could happen. Lagavulin, if she calls into the show.
What year Lagavulin?
The 16. Okay. So what do you think, if she comes into our studio, what is a reasonable payoff for that?
Suck my dry dick is what you'll do.
Okay, no. And I need to tone it down. It's me. Fair. Oh, it's on me. Okay.
I'm just saying, if I could, if you got to come up with a bottle of Pappy Van Winkle, if I get her to walk through the door,
that'll be about a grand.
Depends. I mean, you can win the Ohio State Lottery or the Ohio State Liquor Lottery. It's $120. You win.
Okay.
But
a bottle of Pappy, what year, 25?
Which, get your hand on any.
Any, okay.
I'll make it fair. Bottle, I mean, if you can get the Rip Van Winkle, then, you know, you'll still probably pay.
All right. You can get Stormy Daniels in your bottle of Pappy. I've never seen you more motivated right now. I've seen you deadlift 800 pounds, but never I've seen the intensity on your face that you have right now to get Stormy Daniels here and a bottle of Pappy owed by me. I'm going to be Googling or Amazoning how much a bottle of Pappy is before I decide to delete this part from the show.
You're not going to find it on Amazon.
All right. all right. So you're
saying, not going to be able to get a bottle of Pappy on Amazon Prime Day.
So you brought up, you can't wait for the NFL to get here.
Mm-hmm.
NFL had a pretty serious ruling come out today. They said they will not suspend Tyreek Hill for his, for the allegations. I mean, if you don't know the story, Tyreek Hill's son ended up with a broken arm. There is a 11 or 12 minute audio clip of he and his girlfriend, who was the mother of this child, talking about the incident and talking about basically being incredibly, I don't want to say stern, because that's the wrong word. Abusive is the word that comes to mind.
All right. So, first of all, so his son ends up with a broken arm. It gets investigated. Hill has an ugly past. He was found, he pled guilty to basically beating his girlfriend while she was pregnant with their now son. I think choking her.
Oh, okay.
And that was ugly. It happened when he was in college. You know, John Dorsey, who's actually now the GM of the Browns, the one who drafted him. And so he's got that history.
All right.
So then his son comes up with a broken arm. And there's no good explanation as to how it happened. It got investigated. Doctors said, listen, this is consistent with the kid who fell, stuck his arm out to break his fall. And, you know, he's young, bones are still growing, arm broke. The whole reason why they continue to investigate is that, you know, they come to investigate and the kid's got bruises and welts on him. And somebody spanked the kid, you know, too aggressively. They can't tell if it was Tyreek Hill or the girlfriend. The girlfriend admits that she does a majority of the disciplining of the child. So they don't have enough to really pin it on Hill or the girlfriend. So the case is closed, but they feel like something was done to the child. So the child is still under supervision. Okay.
All right.
So then you have this audio that comes out where they're going through an airport. And somebody records a conversation between Tyreek Hill and his girlfriend. And she is trying to goad him into saying that he did something to the child. Right? He's not saying it. They have a back and forth. And then she says, well, your son is terrified of you. And his response is, well, you should be terrified of me. Right? Now, we heard that clip early. That was like, we heard that little exchange. It was about 2 minutes, and people heard that clip and said, well, this guy's a scumbag, it's all him, blah, 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 blah. The whole tape comes out, and you have that exchange, which obviously doesn't sound good, but he also goes on to say, listen, you know, that whole thing back in, you know, Oklahoma State, I forget where he went to school, Alabama, wherever, that whole thing where, you know, you lied on me and you said I choked you when I never touched you. You were mad at me that night and I put you out. I didn't touch you. I just kicked you out of my apartment, closed the door, and then you called the police. You lied on me and you kept lying on me. And then, you know, I ended up having to plead guilty because they believed you and they didn't believe me. Right. And so that's a part of a tape as well. So now that puts into question, because he's being recorded. He doesn't know that he's being recorded. And he's saying this, right? And then he's just like, what about that? What about that, right? Like, so it kind of puts it in perspective that they have an incredibly toxic relationship. The other part about this is that she admitted to medical examiners, she admitted to social services and in front of attorneys that she knew that Tyreek Hill never had anything to do with the kid breaking his arm. She called social services, said that he did it because she was pissed at him about his behavior and wanted to hurt him.
This does go back to advice that was given to me a long time ago, which is don't fuck a crazy chick. Now, that's advice I have not followed.
No, first of all, you always fuck the crazy chick. You just get as far away from her as you can after. Because,
oh, okay. I personally, like, I do, and then I try to fix things. So,
right. You can't fix crazy.
You cannot fix crazy.
So the whole thing, what I gather from all this is that they have an incredibly toxic relationship. Right. And I've seen relationships like this before where I guarantee you it all comes down to they're probably really great together in bed. Other than that.
I hope so.
Other than that, like, they cannot function as sane human beings when they're together. Because all reports are that Tyreek Hill is a model citizen in Kansas City with the team. Like, never any issues. His issues come, like, he doesn't have buddies that lead him astray. He doesn't have family. Like, his issue is her. She is his kryptonite, his poison, whatever. And he's the same for her. They are not good together. And so the best thing is for those two to be as far apart from each other as possible. Figure out what the best situation for the son is. Try to teach the son better ways to break the cycle of fucking craziness that is his, you know, biological parents.
Their situation, yeah.
And I guarantee you that makes all the difference in the world. If he stays with her, I just don't see how it works out well.
Do you think there's a chance in hell that it takes that turn in a positive direction? Let's just say, don't bet on
it. I don't, if he can get himself away from her. But I've seen, I've seen guys do it. Right? I went to college with guys who had incredibly toxic relationships with girls in school, stayed with the girl for a couple years out. Now, remember, the kid, Tyreek Hill's young.
Yeah, what is he, 24, 25? Right? I mean,
he's barely 25 years old, right? Like, sure. So I've seen this play out before, right? Black guy with, you know, this crazy girlfriend who's obsessed with him because she wants to be latched on to him, not because she loves him, but she recognizes his potential, and now Tyreek Hill has achieved it. So she wants to make sure that she stays on as, you know, the one who's by his side. Does she love him? Maybe not.
Right, we have to
speculate. And whatever. But that sort of relationship, never healthy. And eventually the guy smartens up and leaves. Or the girl smartens up and leaves. One of them smartens up and leaves. Will it happen here before it derails his career? I don't know. It's hard to say.
But let's come back to that. Because in this case, the NFL did not suspend him. And the NFL,
which is the right move, by the way.
I agree. You can't
suspend this person because he said mean things.
Because he said mean things when he didn't know he was. Well, I guess it doesn't matter if he knew he was being recorded or not. But he said mean things. Not even in the U.S. By the way, I believe that was in Dubai. Mm-hmm. Which brings in a whole bunch of other questions. Like
why are you taking this bitch to Dubai?
Because it's supposed to be pretty awesome. if
I don't care how awesome it is. Well, she's crazy. Stop taking her places. Stop being with her.
Okay. That's out of here. I thought you were saying, why Dubai? I'm like, because Dubai is where people
Dubai
are going.
Yes, Dubai sounds fantastic. I would love to go.
I actually would not, because
it's dry.
What's that? It's dry. It is. Well, it is and it's not. So it is.
What does that mean?
It means that there are pockets where that gets ignored.
Okay.
But in like, if you walk down the street and had a book, in America, you can't walk down the street with a beer either, but... yeah, if you drank in a non in a place where it was not allowed, and I finger quoted it because it's not technically allowed anywhere, you would face very serious consequences. I had an on-again, off-again, somewhat stormy relationship with a musician, and she did a gig in Dubai years ago. And she texted me from Dubai, like, hey, I'm in Dubai, gig went great last night. And I texted back something suggestive. And she literally texted back, please don't do that. They monitor everything here. If they saw that, I might get arrested. A couple got arrested for holding hands on the elevator yesterday because they weren't married. Boy. That's Dubai.
You know what?
And that's a moderate Islamic
nation. I will not be visiting Dubai.
So back to you, you want to go to Dubai? I don't think you do.
I will stick to watching the Fast and Furious 7. They do a scene there in Dubai, and that is I'll get my Dubai kicks.
That's probably a good choice. All right, you ready to wrap this up?
Wrap it up, B.
All right, thank you. We are at Whiskey Congress on all...
Wait a minute.
Oh.
We have something to talk about.
Should we put this on air?
So last weekend... So I had my class reunion last weekend, and I come back into town...
Behind the scenes with Jim and Steve.
Yes, and so we grab a drink at one of our favorite watering holes, and tied a few on, and towards the end, when we're wrapping things up, Batman shows up. And by Batman, I mean a short, stubby, fat guy.
Wearing a Batman shirt.
Wearing a Batman t-shirt, stretching it to all hell.
Yes.
The bat symbol wasn't quite the bat symbol.
It was about the size it was on the city when they shine it. Fat jokes are not nice. I don't know why I'm doing
that. So this guy walks in, and he had been drinking all day.
Clearly.
He was hammered, okay? And he comes over, and he says stuff to me that it's literally inaudible. Like, I don't know what he's saying. I'm like, all right, buddy. Like, take it easy. Have a nice day.
Right. Great. And then we talked to him for a few minutes. I high-fived him like he was the drunk idiot in the bar. He's harmless-ish. Yes. Just let this guy go. As far as being a physical threat, this guy, I mean, 5'6", 240.
Right, he was as round as he was tall.
They would have had to stop twice if he ran 50 feet.
Right, like, I mean, he was as round as he was tall. I didn't really have an issue with him. And then, for some reason, I don't know why this happened.
I don't either.
He grabbed my beer.
Well, we're skipping a few things, though. Because he did that talk, and he walked away. You know, I think he stopped by and wanted to high-five us on the way to the bathroom or whatever. Goes to the bathroom, comes back, says something again on the way back again. Not exactly a conversation, and that happened, I think, one other time. Mm-hmm. The third time he comes back, he gets aggressive with you.
Right, and I don't know.
I have no idea.
I don't know why. And he said something like, you got a problem. And I said, no. And he then grabs my beer and starts to, like, blow and, like, spit in it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ooh, I don't like that.
I know, I believe your exact words were, you need to put that down now.
Well, he did that a couple times, and I'm like, okay, this isn't good. And then he kept doing it, and then he drank it, and then spit it back out into the cup.
Yes.
And then I lost my shit.
Yes, you did.
I think I told him that it was time for him to leave.
You did, aggressively, and he mouthed at you for a second. Yes. You took a step towards him. I put on the most, the best left tackle I could do against you, knowing it wasn't going to go well. If you caught your senses a bit. And I basically said, Steve, not worth it, not worth it, not worth it. He ran his mouth for another second, and I'm like, I honestly don't know if I said anything to him. I don't know if I said, dude, get the fuck out of here or not. I just know I'm thinking, I need to not leave you unimpeded with this guy.
I was walking towards him. He was walking backwards but talking at me.
Right.
You were between us, and I was gently kind of
resisting enough. Yes.
And then he said one more thing, and... Right as I was about to literally chuck you, and I'm glad I didn't, because you might have gone through the window.
I'm glad you didn't, too.
Because just the proximity where you were to the window, like, if I would have thrown you, because he really, he said something, and I don't remember what it was.
I
don't
either. But, I remember telling you, not worth it, not worth it, not worth it.
And then he literally, like, ran out the window and tripped his fat ass out and almost fell into the street trying to, like, run away. And then after that, I was like, all right, well, I guess I can calm down.
Well, then he tried to come back.
Yes.
And then... Ran his mouth a bit more,
yes.
But did not come in the door.
Yep.
And then left again.
Yes.
Now, I went to the bathroom between all this, so I did not hear him. I was not there when he came back for the second time, I think. Mm-hmm. I come back, I look out there, I was like, fuck you. I'm like, he's out there again. And you're like, oh, you missed it when you were in the bathroom. So anyway, yeah, we had a bit of an incident.
Well, the funny part about that is, so through all that, he didn't pay his tab, but he left his card. So the bartender closes it out, and oh, that was the other thing. When he walked out the first time, he pointed at me and said, "He's got my tab, right? He's gonna pay it." So the bartender, the poor girl, she's a tiny little thing. She's like, "What do I do?" And I'm like, "Do you have his card?" And she's like, "Oh," and so I'm like, "Fine." So he walks out, right? He's completely oblivious to all this. Walks out, does a little thing, and then that's when he came back and then grabs my beer and does the whole fucking thing. That's what it was.
No, he grabbed your beer before that. That's what got him to get thrown out.
No. He was leaving, and then he said he'll pay my tab.
Okay.
So I'm getting it all back. And all right. We had a couple drinks.
A few drinks, and it was a very...
He was leaving. He said,
adrenaline-filled
moment. I told the guy to get the fuck out of here. He said I was going to pay, and I'm like,
and
okay.
Then I get between the two of you.
Right, and then okay. he came back, grabs my beer, does the whole thing, and then we have the interaction. So then when he does finally come back and realizes he forgot his card, the bartender said, "Well, he said you were going to take care of it." So I signed the guy's name. I left the bartender a tip.
You did. A very generous one.
I did.
Well,
I think his tab was $40 and her tip
was $40.
$40. So he had an $80 day at a bar that if you spend $20, you're probably annihilated.
True. And that's why we love that bar. Mm-hmm. That was a fun. Now, earlier in the day, before this clown showed up, we decided to have some fun with other things. We were watching the Indians game before that. We were sober.
No, Jim, that happened after. That happened after.
Man, we were drunk. anyway. Indians game ends. They hand me the remote. A couple of clicks later, we are watching the U.S. Open of badminton. We are watching mixed doubles badminton.
Yes.
And you and I turned into goofballs, which was one of the most fun things I've done with you. Because you and I started aggressively cheering for the French team versus the team from Hong Kong.
I had Hong Kong.
You had Hong Kong.
I had the French team.
And this dude shows up between us and wonders what we're into. And we talked about how we loved the France versus Hong Kong rivalry for the last 5 years. Yeah. And now when these two teams get together, you just throw the records out the window.
We had bets. We had over-unders. He's like, what? How do you even know this? We're literally making things up. He's asking us about the rules. I'm literally making them up as I go.
At one point, he asked you about a rule. He asked you, is it a best of three? And you went, yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
And I'm looking away like, I hope he's right. Because this is the only time I've ever not been able to look at you so I didn't burst into laughter. Because I'm literally like looking away. I'm trying to pretend that I don't hear this.
He said, it's the best of three, right? And I'm like, absolutely.
Absolutely. It's international rules.
Right.
And then I remember looking at you when the guy's back was turned and goes, and I said to you, how far do you want to go with this? And you went, all the way.
What's funny is that they actually play the U.S. Open for badminton in a high school gym.
The Titans of Fullerton.
Yes.
Is it not the University of California, Fullerton? No, it was UC Fullerton. I think it was UC Fullerton.
No, it wasn't.
I think it was.
It was not.
All right.
Jim, it was a high school gym.
It looked like a high school gym, but yeah, because UC Fullerton's a real athletic powerhouse when they're set up for international badminton. That was a fun, interesting day. Nearly 50-year-old.
That's what you get hanging out with Steve and Jim.
Exactly. So all the more reason to hang out with us. All right. So we are at Whiskey Congress on all social media. Jim at Whiskey Congress, Steve at WhiskeyCongress.com if you want to
chasing chubby dudes and beating them down.
And we didn't beat anyone. No physical harm was done. And you followed orders. He said, close out the tab. You closed out the tab.
Yeah.
I don't think you did anything wrong. All right. Thanks for listening. Hope that entertained you. Good talking to you, brother.
Yep.
We're out.